What a blessing it is to be here this morning. When Brother Mark called me and asked me whether I'd be willing to share, it didn't take a lot of time for me to decide to come. I always enjoy being here, feel like I'm with friends and family, and actually have some family that I didn't expect to see here today. Phil and Joyce, it's good to have you here. And as we spent time just seeking the Lord, I was just made aware in a very real way of how God directs in our lives and in our services. James, I'm sure you didn't know what I was going to preach about this morning, but God knew. And I want to share from Luke chapter 15. And I know that we know this story as the prodigal son, but I'd like to take it in a bit of a different direction. I'd like to ask a question. How many of you enjoy receiving gifts? Oh, some of you don't, huh? I think every one of us enjoy receiving gifts. I have a daughter who her love language is gifts. Now, I didn't realize this as a dad growing up. I look back now and I see many places that I missed the opportunity to minister to her, but not too many. It's probably been about a year ago, maybe just a little more. We were down with our daughter and the ladies went shopping at, I think, some hobby store. I went into Lowe's. After I had finished my shopping, I came over to this hobby shop, and they were still shopping. And anyway, as we got ready to go, my daughter, she was married already, she came up to me, and she was like, "Dad, I just want to show you something." And basically, it was just a little snowman, kind of a decorative thing that you would put maybe out on your porch or somewhere. And I could tell she really wanted that, but she was kind of pinching her pennies. And the Lord just put this thought in my mind. I wonder if I could buy that without her knowing it. Ellie was with me, and there was another girl with my daughter. So we kind of watched them go to the counter, and I snuck back there, and I picked up this snowman, stuck it in my cart. Would you believe it? I actually got it out of there without her knowing a thing. When we got to their place, I just took the snowman and put it on the front porch, set it there, and kind of forgot about it. Later in the day, we were in the kitchen and just talking a little bit, and all of a sudden this came to my mind. And I just said something about Kendra doesn't know everything that's going on, and she kind of looked at me with this quizzical look, put my arm around her, and we walked out of the house, and there in the corner of her porch was this little snowman. You know, her response just still affects me today. She just began to cry. And I realized how important, and it's not necessarily the gift, but it's the heart behind the gift. I've entitled the message this morning, Gifts from a Father's Heart. All of us have received gifts, but a gift from your father is something extremely special. I remember one Christmas, and we were not a wealthy family, but I remember as I was growing up, probably about 11 or 12, Christmas time, my dad said, "Dave, come with me." Walked out of the house, and we had a shed out behind the house, and we went out there, and of course I was like, what's going on? Had no idea for sure what was happening. Got out there, looked inside the shed, and here was a brand new Schwinn bicycle, black, shiny, a gift that any child would just love. Man, I'll tell you, that bike was so special to me. I would wash it, I would wax it. I would make sure it was shining. I put a speedometer on it to see how fast I could go, and rode that bike many years to Greenwood Mennonite School. and back again, a true gift from my father's heart. But let me just say, there were gifts that my father gave me that went way beyond that bicycle that was so special to me as a boy. His love, his time, his smiles of approval. I could still see, playing basketball on a Friday night at Greenwood Mennonite School, my dad sitting on the sideline as he watched me play, and I could still see the smile of approval on his face as he watched his son play. And I think about his willingness to apologize and admit failure in his life. Gifts from a father's heart. In many ways, this parable that we have here today opens the window or the blinds to the heart of a grieving father. Our father's heart. James already took the words out of my mouth, but I'll repeat them. All of us sitting here this morning have either been or are presently the prodigal son, the lost sheep, or the lost coin. Not all of us sitting here this morning are fathers, but every one of us sitting here this morning have been impacted either positively or negatively by our fathers. And somehow, God has chosen, I find this amazing, God has chosen this analogy to portray his desire and his love for each one of us. And that is the analogy of fatherhood. May I suggest to us this morning that fatherhood, as it was intended to be, was to give to each one of us an identity, an acceptance, a security, a protection, a heritage, and a future. I say that again. Fatherhood, as it was intended to be, was designed to give us an identity, an acceptance, a security, a protection, a heritage, and a future. But what happens? Friends, this morning, what happens when something goes wrong? When the serpent enters the human family, when sin robs the family of its very soul, when tragedy robs the family of the gifts of a father's heart, when there is anger, when there is abuse, when instead of joy and laughter, there are tears, when instead of love and goodwill, there is tension and strife in the home, when instead of closeness, there is distance and silence, and when instead of wholeness, and I thought about this as we were singing, because I work with people a lot. Instead of wholeness, there's a hole in the heart. And it's amazing to me how that hole in the heart affects so much of our responses in life. I would tell you today, this story lets us know. To all of those who have experienced the gifts of the Father's heart and those who have not experienced the gifts of a Father's heart, this story lets us know that our Heavenly Father is no stranger to the pain that all of us experience when things just don't turn out according to our expectation. Did you know this morning, not all the lost sheep are found? Not all of the lost coins are picked up. Not all of the elder brothers come inside. I was at a meeting at Rosedale many years ago. I was a student there, but I think it was ministers' meeting where they invited all the fathers, all the ministers who had wayward children to come to the front of that auditorium. And then they also invited people to join them. You know, I've never forgotten. I can still see the tears running down these pastors' faces. My uncle was one of them. The sorrow, the pain that they felt for having wayward children. But I would say to you today, in spite of all of this, our Heavenly Father has some tremendous gifts which, if accepted and treasured, can bring peace and security to your heart. And I like that because though our earthly fathers have missed us, though they have not been what maybe they could have been or should have been, one thing I can tell you without any hesitation today, your Heavenly Father is perfect. Your Heavenly Father will never fail you. Your Heavenly Father is one who is able to bring you through all of those circumstances of life. Let me begin reading here in chapter 15 of Luke, verse 11. You know the story well. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all," and you will spend all, "there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself," I like that. Don't you just love coming to yourself? Coming to that place of being willing to surrender. It's a powerful place. "He said, 'How many hired servants do my father have? Bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." This really gets special to me. Because I could see my dad. My dad, I feel, was a tremendous example of my Heavenly Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, is alive again, and was lost, and is found." Let's pray. Father, as we look today at the gifts from your heart, I pray that you would encourage and challenge each one of us, both as fathers in our relationship to our children, and also as children in relationship to our fathers, and most of all, in our relationship to you, our Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I think about gifts from a father's heart, I have four gifts here that I would like you to think about this morning. You might want to take these down. The first gift that I see in this passage is a father who looks down the road once more. And as I think about that, I think of the whole matter of perseverance, a father who looks down the road once more. It's the shepherd who goes out to search for the lost sheep one more time. It's the woman who sweeps her floor one more time for that lost coin. And it's the mother, and it's the father who prays for that wayward daughter or son one more time. I remember so well, our church is a little different, but up in the front here, Wednesday evening service, a dear sister would often say during prayer meeting, "Let's pray for Paul Mark." Now you have to know a little bit about Paul Mark. Paul Mark and I grew up together. We were really close. We were in the same baptismal class. Paul Mark had a very difficult childhood. I remember the time he came to me with tears running down his face and he said this, "Dave, I would give anything in the world to have a dad like you have." And I used to envy him because his dad bought him just about everything. Guns, we went hunting together. But there were things that his dad was not able to give him, or at least did not. In fact, Paul told me one time, he said, "Dave, there are times that I feel like going out into the woods with my 12-gauge shotgun and just blowing my dad away." When Paul was 17, his dad went into the hospital for a gallbladder operation. Paul took that opportunity to leave home. He went to Texas. And so began a journey of spiritual wandering that went for years and years in this young man's life. But every Wednesday night, his mom would say, "Let's pray for Paul." And I remember thinking, you know, we have prayed for Paul. He was a close friend of mine. But you know what? Again and again, she would say, "Let's pray for Paul." And she was one godly mother. That's one thing I can say. One day, there at Central, who would walk into church on a Sunday morning? He's in his 40s. He and I are we were in our 40s then. We're not now. I'm in my 50s now, but 40 wasn't bad. 50, a little different, but anyway. Who would walk into church but my friend from when I was young and growing up? It's an amazing story. During Sunday school, we're sitting in the back of the church, and the lesson that day was on the parable of the sower. Paul sat there in the class, and the question was asked, "Do you sow seed on the hard soil?" You know what? I don't remember the answer to that question in the class. All I remember is that after Sunday school, and Paul Mark and I used to sit in about the fourth row. We'd always sit together in church. And after Sunday school, I went up and sat down. Now, I have children now and all day. Paul came up, and he sat on the same bench with me. And I remember sitting there thinking, I wonder if this guy can still sing. He had a tremendous bass voice. And I kind of think that we sang the song, "Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain." But anyway, as I listened, I heard his bass voice. And after the service, Paul got into his car and headed back to Oklahoma by himself. His wife wasn't with him. We had met his wife before, and I had told Ellie, if she ever becomes a Christian, she'll make a wonderful wife. And she already was a wonderful wife for him. After Paul got home, I got a letter from him. He said, "Dave, first of all, I want to answer a question that was asked in the Sunday school class that day I was there. The question was, do you sow seed on the hard soil?" And he said, "I want to tell you, yes, you do." He said, God took the seed that morning and broke the hardness of my heart. By the time he had gotten home, he had recommitted his life to Jesus Christ. He went to his wife. He said, "Honey, I have just recommitted my life to Jesus Christ, and I'd love for you to come along with me." It wasn't but a week or two later that she accepted the Lord as her Savior. I'm talking about a gift of a father's heart. And you dads out here, whatever age you are, one thing that I've sometimes struggled with, it seems like that when we have failed, we think it's all over. Not in God's economy. A father who looks down the road one more time. That's our heavenly father. And as earthly fathers, God expects and wants us to be the kind of dad that never quits with our children. Could I just emphasize that? There is always redemption. My uncle is still, he is still building the relationship with his 50-some-year-old son for adopted children. Remember at 40-some years of age, I stopped at the church to talk to my cousin. He said, Dave, for 45 years, I have felt like a duck in a chicken house. Given up by his mom. Never knowing why. Feeling rejection. My uncle, adopted uncle, every Saturday, eats breakfast with his son. I love it. God is a God, a gift from a father's heart, who looks down the road one more time. And you know something, brothers and sisters, that one more time has saved a lot of us. God's grace. Whenever I get discouraged, I think of our friend Paul. What a blessing it was to take him into my classroom at school and tell my students, this is my child, this is my childhood friend. Did so many things together. Now I want to tell you something. I knew what his home was like because I would spend Sunday afternoon with him. And I'll tell you, it was a tough home to live in. Often felt sorry for his mom. Fortunately, reconciliation happened with his father. I believe his father's in heaven today. Let me just tell you, this is not, when you know the story behind a person's response, it often makes a tremendous difference. I could never understand Paul's dad, but one night, his dad got up as an old man and began to share of his experience as a young man with his father. And all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? If I'd have been in his shoes, would have I have done any better? I don't know. But one thing I know, our Heavenly Father is a God who looks down the road one more time. I just love that. And I'm encouraging you as dads, wherever you are with your children, look down the road one more time. The love that perseveres. Secondly, our Heavenly Father, get this, is a Father who runs to meet you. This is not the run of judgment. This is not the run with the clenched fist. This is not the run with the scowl on the face or the hands on the hip, which is often characteristics of our relationships between fathers and sons, fathers and daughters. You know, can I just share something here? At a time when God intended fathers and children to be closest together, at the most critical stage of their journey, as they're growing into adulthood, my perception and understanding most times is that at that point, children and dads, children and moms aren't talking. They're not on good terms with each other. And I just want to tell you, that is extremely unfortunate. Young person here today, you know what? Don't just wait for your dad or mom to build the relationship. You have the capacity to build that relationship with your mom and dad. Parents here, I would encourage you to work at building that. This is a father. I just love this. This is a father who runs to meet you. And it's the run with the outstretched arms. It's the run with tears of joy. It's the run of anticipation. And just like Adam and Eve in the garden, where God says, Adam, where are you? Adam's hiding, you know. He's like, God said, no, where are you? This is the kind of Father that you and I have in heaven, a Father who runs to meet you. But it gets better. Verse 10, the third point, he is a Father who embraces you. I love to give Gerald a good bear hug. Gerald and I became good friends a number of years ago, shared many experiences together. By the way, dads, moms, your children need to know that you love them. They need to feel your hugs and your embraces. My Katrina, yeah. I said hi to Katrina. Where is she? I don't know. Somewhere over here. I said, man, I miss Katrina. And then I said, my Katrina. But I said, well, I miss you too. But Katrina, my daughter Katrina, is a toucher. She would often say, she'd say, Dad, she can look at me and read me. She said, Dad, do you need a hug? A father who is not afraid or ashamed to embrace his child. This is a love that forgives. Children need to see this kind of love. It's an embrace that communicates so many positive things to a son or a daughter. The embrace of forgiveness, the embrace of acceptance, and the embrace of belonging. You know, it's like the prodigal son's confession. I like this. It's like the prodigal son's confession gets swallowed up, kind of in the embrace of the father. And just in a very quick nutshell, when I was about 12, 13, I had told a lie to my dad. I won't go into the details of that, but let me just tell you the reasons behind it. I watched every one of my four brothers get disciplined in front of me, and by the time my dad got to me, the oldest, and asked me, were you talking? I said, no, I was not talking. I wasn't about to go through what they went through. And my brother Paul immediately said, Dave, you were too talking. I know you were talking. My dad never flinched. He walked out of the room, trusted me, and I said, I'll forget about it. Well, I guess what? I couldn't forget about it. I'd go to bed at night, and my conscience was just, and I remember the night. I finally said, this is enough, and I got out of my bed, and I walked over, my dad's study was lit, and I went in there, and I said, Papa, you remember that night that you disciplined us for talking after we were supposed to be settled down for the night? I won't go in. I said, I need to tell you that I told you a lie that night. And you know something? I did not know what my dad would do. My dad was a very strong, firm disciplinarian. I knew I deserved the worst kind of punishment that a child could get because I betrayed his trust and I did what I knew was wrong. I'll never forget what happened. He put his arm around me. He said, Dave, let's kneel. I could just see this. I was just a young boy. He said, let's kneel down. He said, I want you to tell God what you've just shared with me. You know, I could still feel his arm around my, I can still feel the grace and the forgiveness. And do you think when I went back to bed that I had any trouble sleeping? I could have jumped over the moon. I was just so free, so light. The last one today is gift from a father's heart gives you a place at the table. Isn't that amazing? The best robe, new shoes, a ring. Do you catch the significance, brothers and sisters, of our Father's love? Every time when I call my son-in-law D on his phone, the first song that comes on as I'm waiting for him. How deep the Father's love for us. You know what? The first time I heard that song, it gripped my heart. And every time I hear it, it just affects me. How deep? I'll tell you, for some of us, it took a lot of love to bring us out of darkness into light. And some of us still need a lot of love from each other today. Can we catch the significance of the Father's love? Hear me carefully. So often in our relationships, we put people in boxes. We say, he made his bed, let him lay in it. Or we say, I knew that would happen to her. Or we say, that's just the way that family is. And in the eyes of the elder prodigal son, dad had crossed the line. A robe, a ring, shoes, a fatted calf, the very idea. We dare never forget that sin carries a tremendously high price tag, which the prodigal son knew all too well and would never forget. But to rub failure in people's faces, to make people pay, to punish with gossip and distance is not the fatherly way. The mature know that but for the grace of God, there I am and there I go. Bonhoeffer said this, anyone who has seen the wretchedness of his own sin, that nailed Jesus to the cross will never be horrified by the rankest of sins in a brother or sister. So this morning, regardless of where you may find yourself, I can assure you these gifts from the Father's heart can be yours. Kingdom Echoes sing this song called "The Search is Over." He knows what you're going through. He's walked in your shoes. He's felt the pain till his tears fell like rain and his heart broke in two. He knows how it feels alone. When all of your friends have gone, he's walked up that hill doing his Father's will to die for you. The chorus goes, the search is over. You found a friend for life. He'll lead you through from the dark into his heavenly light. The search is over, though your heart is breaking. Jesus is waiting. The search is over. I love the second verse. We have a choice to make. By the way, this just has blessed me recently. It's not what happens to you that destroys you. It's your response to that. We have a choice to make. There are two roads to take. You've carried sin's load. When down the wrong road, you've lost your way. Now the Father stands at the door, and he looks down the road once more, and he sees you coming home. You've wandered so long. Now it's homecoming day. The search is over. Aren't you grateful this morning, brothers and sisters, for a heavenly Father who gives gifts for each one of us? And let me just say this. If you've been blessed with a godly, earthly father, you have had, I'm telling you, you have had a priceless gift. There would be many a young person that would love to have experienced that kind of a relationship. But don't give up. You can build and initiate the kind of relationship that God can bless. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Thank you for your love, which is deep. Thank you for the gifts that you give to us. And I pray that you would bless each one here in a personal way. Lord, you know the burdens. You know the areas of need. You know the failures of our lives. Father, we know that you are a forgiving and a gracious God, and we come to you in our need this morning and confess our need, and we just thank you for your love for each one of us and for the grace that brought us to you. And Lord, help us to honor you and to live for you all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless each one of you.